Shepard steps back into the shotgun with Parmalee and takes the waist-high delivery. Plants, turns, throws. He's got Justin Blackmon. Touchdown, Jacksonville. The first of his NFL career.
He's on the run. Blackmon's at the 30. He's at the 20. He's at the 10. 5. Touchdown. Touchdown, Jacksonville. 81 yards.
This is Jaguars This Week.
Jaguars This Week.
With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst Jeff Luggeman, Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher, and Tony Boselli.
Now that's a cool cat.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank.
Jaguars This Week.
Jaguars This Week
begins
right now.
So Joe wants us to lead with Blackmon, huh? I guess that's the big story this week, although, you know, we were coming in talking about draft and the rookie minicamp coming up, and now we got to talk about a knucklehead wide receiver with a second strike against him now. And I think we all knew that he was going to bear watching, but last year seemed kind of uneventful once the season started. I didn't hear anything until yesterday, and now we know he's gone for four games. Good evening and welcome to Jaguars This Week. I'm Brian Sexton. Tony Boselli is across the table, sitting to our left, well, my left, his right, John Osher from Jaguars.com. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, Brian. How are you?
Good.
Good, but it's so disappointing on so many levels. But you come off a draft that I think everyone would agree was extremely successful, very well thought out.
Phenomenal feedback on that draft.
Yeah, I mean, from everybody, well thought out, well planned, impact players down the board. And
the week, the whole week with the new uniforms and
new
all the
uniforms,
sponsor events.
I'll tell you, I was in London. I mean, there is definitely a buzz of the NFL in general in Jaguar stuff and the games over there. I mean, it was a great week, and then you wake up the other day and you read the information or find out the information that Justin Blackmon is going to be suspended for four games because of violating the league policy on drugs
substance
and
abuse.
Substance abuse.
We don't know what it is.
We don't know if it's drugs or alcohol or what it is. And it's extremely disappointing because when he got the DUI last year, almost a year ago, and I, for one, was saying, listen, he's a young kid, he's 22 years old, people make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And it's not okay. DUIs are it kills people. No one's saying it's okay. But listen, we're all 22, and I'm not excusing it, but my guess is everyone here did things, and they were fortunate enough not to get caught, and they were lucky enough to learn a lesson
Without hurting anybody.
Without hurting anybody or without getting arrested or anything else. And so you don't say it's okay. You don't excuse it. But you want to get around the guy and say, listen, you made a mistake. Let's learn from it. Let's get better. The fan base is supportive. Your owner is supportive. It was a supportive situation. And you hope that's a situation where a guy learns. He wakes up, makes a mistake, understands the consequences, and understands now because of it, if he makes one more mistake, that his contract's not guaranteed and it could greatly jeopardize his future. And less than a year later, he makes a mistake. And I'll say this. My guess is it's not the first time he made a mistake, but he got caught. And then all of a sudden you start hearing rumors and people talking around the city of instances that they've seen. It's all over talk radio. And now you got to wonder – the question has to be asked, does the kid have a major issue? Does he have a major issue with whatever substance it is? And you worry about the future, not only of his career here in Jacksonville, but his individually, when a guy makes mistakes like that repeatedly, his life.
And even if it's not a medical issue or a addiction issue, which who knows, we can't judge X, while we're not inside the guy, at the very least, it's an issue of maturity, and you've got to grow up from this. I think Dave Caldwell's best quote yesterday when he talked about this with the media was crossroads, life, career. You know, without saying it, that's saying it. Hey, you've got to grow up. This is not going to be tolerated, indefinitely. So it's a crossroads, and I think that's the best way to put it.
And you look at it, he literally – I'm not saying the Jags are going to cut him, and no one's saying they're going to cut him, but they could and not owe him another dollar, and ends up being probably, about a $10 to $12 million mistake?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, boy, I'm telling you.
You got to wake up from this.
Well, you got to wake up, but my goodness, I mean, you know what's on the line. I mean, it was a public spectacle last time, and he was drugged through, you know, the mud as far as the media and everyone asking and questions. And I know it bothered him, and it's not fun. He ends up coming back, having a nice rookie season, led all rookie receivers.
Finished strong.
Yards and catches and, targets. And then this. And so he hurts the team. He hurts himself. And it's disappointing. But my guess is, I mean, listen, I think Gus and Dave and the organization are going to be supportive and do what they can. It's really out of their hands. It's a league issue at this point. But at the same time, in reality, the way the NFL works, we're not waiting for you.
Right. Can't.
We're not going to wait for you. We're not. I mean, listen, one thing that people have to understand, and I think players have to understand, part of being a pro and part of making it in this league is establishing trust and being trustworthy so that your team, your teammates, your coaches, your owner can trust you and can count on you and know that you're going to be there playing and playing out day in, day out, and be able to perform. You are being paid to play football.
And
that's what you get paid to do. And you can't do that if you're suspended by the league because of some substance abuse issue of breaking the league policy.
And it's also, Tony, and I'm preaching to the choir, knowing how to approach it year-round, knowing how to be a pro, knowing how to be involved with it, knowing what it's going to take to be successful long-term. Whatever happened to cause the suspension clearly is not part of that. And that's what you look for from guys who are going to be your core players long-term. Is are they accepting that? Do they know how to work and continue to get better individually, part of the team? That's, it goes without saying, that's not what this is.
Well, he's obviously dealing with something big. And here's why. An addiction issue, and addiction issues are not easily overcome. And the reason I say it is because how many people said to you today, when you were out and about, for $12.5 million, couldn't you not smoke, not drink, whatever it was?
Well, you would think, but
clearly he couldn't.
But if it's an addiction,
so he needs
issue,
help.
Then he needs to go to help.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's where you start worrying about him as an individual.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And because listen, you care about him. He's a part of our organization, so he's a part of the family. We want him to get better. And so you forget the football side right now because you can't help this football team for the first four games of this year.
Well, we've got an example. Jimmy, he couldn't overcome his. He had to retire. He could not overcome it. So the reality of it is that there's no guarantee that Justin Blackmon will overcome his.
I think the message, too, though, that Dave Caldwell sent, which is the right message, yes, we're supportive, but the thing you just said, Tony, we're doing this with or without you. Clearly in Dave's message yesterday, it's, yes, we're going to be concerned. Yes, we're going to do what we can. At the same time, there's a limit, and I'm paraphrasing here. I don't want to misquote, but these guys also have to take care of these things themselves.
Yeah. Well, it's just
you got to be a grown-up.
Because of the CBA, partly, too. There's a limit to what they can do.
And, guys, this is how the real world works. Listen, you can be concerned about somebody and wish them the best and want to help them in one breath. Mm-hmm. And the next breath, say, listen, but we're still going. We love you. We're going to care about you. We're going to help you. We want the best for you. We want you to succeed.
But there's
we're not
a bigger
wait,
thing here, too.
But we're not going to wait for you.
Right.
And if you can make it and get better, boy, we think you can really be a part of this team, and we want you a part of this team. But it comes down to personal accountability, and Dave talked about it. Listen, everyone in this organization, from the three of us sitting here on the radio, to the head coach, to the GM, to every player, are accountable for their actions. And if you do something that disqualifies you from being a part of the organization, then that's really on you.
Yep.
And you got to take care of your own business. And Justin Blackmon needs to figure it out. And if he needs help, then go get help. And go, there's help out there. The league has things put in place. There's professional organizations that can help you. And I hope he does. I hope he does it for himself and he figures it out because he's a young man who has a lot of life in front of him. And we've all seen it in the league and out of the league of people who don't overcome it for whatever reason. And their life is ruined because of it and greatly affected. And I hope for Justin Blackmon that doesn't happen.
Now, all of that said, and this will probably lead into what we're going to talk about next, as much as that felt like a deflating moment on Tuesday, I got a lot of emails saying, boy, this just takes the wind out of our sails. In the big picture, even this does not negate what they're doing, what they did last weekend. And I think that's what's important to remember, too.
And that's
there's
the rest
a lot of
our
structure
show.
Being built that this is just a small part of it in the big picture.
And that's the rest of our show. We dealt with the Justin Blackmon issue. We move on. We talk about the draft and football. when we return. But first, the folks over at WOKV heard you loud and clear, and now you can hear News Talk WOKV louder and more clearly. In fact, everywhere in Northeast Florida on our new, more powerful frequency, 104.5 FM. And Joe, am I throwing it to break or you?
No, I'll throw it to break.
Please do.
Got some phone calls, too, from folks who already said they love the new signal.
Right.
Love it to death.
Here we go.
Parents, now's the time to sign your children up for the Jaguars Kids Club. It does have its advantages, you know. Members get a Jags Kids Club kit, which includes a welcome letter, membership card, certificate, T-shirt, invites to exclusive Jag events, a birthday card from Jacksonville, and a whole bunch more. For more information, call JaguarsKidsClub.com. Just visit there. You'll be glad you did. Jaguars This Week rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week. Happy Wednesday, everyone. Want to talk to the guys? Real easy to do. 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Out of town, just throw an 800 in front of that. This portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Fanatics.com.
All right, Joe, thanks. Congratulations again to WOKV making the move over to a full 100,000-watt blowtorch FM at 104.5. And if you're listening down in St. Johns County, change your radio now to 104.5 to listen to News Talk WOKV on the new, more powerful frequency, static-free in every corner of St. Johns County, including St. Augustine, Nocatee, and all of Northwest St. Johns. News Talk WOKV now on 104.5 FM, which means we are as well. Brian Sexton, along with John Osher. Tony Boselli has stepped out. He will return momentarily. Okay, the marks on the draft.
It's hard to lose Tony, by the way, but we did.
Yeah, you got to work your way out of the studio. All the equipment's in here right now as they're going through some of it, and getting by is not easy. Here he is. And then for him to reappear so quickly, like a ghost. Okay, the marks on the draft. The last couple of years, they were routinely in the C's.
Sure.
People just didn't like what this team was doing. And the results, it showed. So Dave Caldwell, it seems like A's or B pluses across the board based on the move to get Jokel.
Well, and it stands to reason because you've got the guy that everybody thought was either the first or second best player, so that's automatically a high grade. And then you drafted Cyprian, who a lot of analysts had in the first round. So obviously, if you're grading this from afar and if you're trying to grade 32 teams, you look at the Jaguars in that sense, and you picked up Denard Robinson, you picked up Ace Sanders, guys that people are familiar with. So it stands to reason that nationally, so it would get a high grade. I'm not so concerned about that as much as when you look at this draft, they had a pattern, they had stuff they wanted to get done, and it seems like they stuck to their plan, which to me is always what I look for in a draft. Did they do things that made sense for the long term?
And listen, I don't want to be the wet blanket here because I think it was a great draft, but I don't really care about the grades. I mean, if you think back to the Eugene Monroe draft, everyone left that draft, and that was the one Gene Smith draft that all the experts said, great draft, great needs, and great value. How many of those guys are left on the roster?
Now, let's be honest. The reason people like this draft and they're excited about it is there's two guys at the top that the draft Knicks liked and had heard of. And locally, there's a lot of big schools at the bottom, which they were tired of not having big schools. So people around here are excited about it because you got some familiar names. You've heard of Denard Robinson. So that's why there's good buzz.
Yeah,
even beyond that, it looks like a good draft.
No, I think it's – listen, I'm not saying – I think it is a good draft.
Grades are worthless. I mean, it's infotainment. It's what we're doing here. The reason I bring it up is simply – that it appears that the perception of this franchise for the first time in a number of years is that they are building it the right way.
Well, and I think a part of it is listen, Dave Caldwell came from Atlanta under Thomas Dimitroff.
Yeah, Thomas, who has a sterling reputation.
Thomas Dimitroff has done an outstanding job. And Dave was the right-hand guy. And so he gets part of the credit, as he should, for that. Gus Bradley comes from a Seattle organization with Pete Carroll, who they've turned that thing around and had one of the best defenses. And Gus Bradley was the defense coordinator, has done a great job. And then on top of that, anyone who meets those two guys, they're young, they're energetic, they're very bright, and they're great communicators. So all the experts that now meet these guys and communicates with them says, my goodness, they got two young guys who are on top of it. And then you couple that with the fact that from the best we can judge – the week after the draft, it looks like they've gotten better. They got the best offensive lineman, or you could argue whether it's him or Eric Fisher, in the draft. They got Cyprian, like we talked about. got dynamic players down the back half of it, and you look at it and say, boy, there's some young, talented, explosive players they've added to the draft. So all these things combined, that's why, heck, I was hearing I was watching the NFL Network feed because that's what was playing on Sky Sports as we kind of broke in and out. And Mike Mayock was saying he loves the direction of this thing before they did anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, right after they made the first pick, because he's impressed with Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell. And so that's why you get the positive feeling. Now, listen, I believe that we're going to sit here 3, 4, 5 years from now, and that Jokel's going to be a guy who's fighting to get to the Pro Bowl or in the Pro Bowl. And Cipriano's that big-time guy in the back half. And, you know, Ace Sanders and
By the way, I was down in Bradenton Palmetto last night, and all I heard was stories about him at Manatee High down there.
Right.
So,
and so him and Denard Robinson are going to be these explosive receivers and return men and doing great things. I think that's all going to happen. But listen, just like we said, as excited as I'm about Dave and Gus being here, and I think they're going to do an outstanding job, the true judgment is 3 years down the road, 4 years down the road.
You know, John, you and I had this conversation last week about the way that Dave approached free agency, mm-hmm. and why it was such a solid argument for the way this team was going to be built. Share that with folks, because it really does explain where Dave is coming from and why the draft worked.
Again, I think he generally speaking didn't want to be tied into where he looked at the draft board and said, I can't take this because I've taken this, or because I've already signed this position or that position. Now, all that said, when you look at how he drafted early, it was clear that they looked at this roster and said, we have a lot of needs in a lot of places. Primarily, we don't have somebody that we're confident in at right tackle. We don't have a strong safety. And boy, we don't have a whole lot of corners over there either. So if you're looking at a wide open draft board, let's go ahead and take those spots so we can function next year. I think next year, all of a sudden, it's not as wide open. I think Dave would tell you the first day next year will be a little more tough, because you would hope that you have some more specific things to go after.
Do you suppose, now that the draft is passed and college free agency is passed, that they will jump back into the free agent market like they were before? You know, where they were grabbing a guy that was situation specific, you know, a Roy Miller that could play in their scheme that would make them better but wouldn't be a core player.
My guess is you will see that maybe a little, but probably more in camp when you have guys released, would be my guess, is that they look at this roster in preseason, they see it play out, and then you might see, okay, we need some short-term help at corner. Who's the best corner that fits us? I'm just using corner as an example. But who's the best player at this position where we need help, who's going to get released, get that guy for a year, get you through? You might see something like that. I don't know that you're going to jump back in right now real, real heavy. But
I was just thinking maybe through the OTA process and up to the mini camp in June, if they don't go and grab a couple of guys.
You might a little, but I don't know that they want to get a whole lot older. I think they like young competition. Let's build this thing with young guys who can learn what we're doing around here.
All right, we've got a lot more to come on our brand-new signal here, 104.5, 100,000-watt, big-time FM station, and Jaguars This Week rolls on after this, Joe.
All right, Brian. Ladies, for the first time, the Jaguars have created a club dedicated to the experience of the female fan. That's women aged 18 and older. The Jaguars Women's Club. This unique program is designed to connect with, provide exclusive experiences for, and engage the Jags female fan through updates, special offers, events, and other great benefits. For more information, just go to jaguars.com/womensclub. Jaguars This Week rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Well, season ticket owners, the Jaguars Refer-A-Fan program is designed to put money in your pocket. Who doesn't like that? You're invited to refer friends to become Jaguars multi-year season ticket owners in return for a cash referral fee. For more info, just call the Jaguars ticket office, 904-633-2000, not to be confused with the Metro PCS call-in line, 355-NFL1.
I can think one person who doesn't like more money in their pocket, that kid on that credit card commercial. Annoying. You know, I know we need to talk about the first-round pick and the offensive line and what that does, because that was a major theme. But you know what? The sexy pick of the whole draft was in the fifth round, mm-hmm. the kid from Deerfield Beach, Denard Robinson. And I was...
You know why it was sexy, though?
Because... because he's a dynamic playmaker from a big conference?
He's one of the most exciting players in college football.
Oh, easy.
The right. last 3 years.
Easy. Yeah. I mean, every time the guy had the ball in his hands, he was a threat to score.
Yeah, now he's not a traditional player at the position. It looks like he's going to play running back, maybe some receiver, but mainly running back. And he's not the biggest guy. I mean, how big is he, John?
5'10", 5'11".
195 or right. so? And so, I mean, he's that kind of that air back, that speed back that is becoming more and more popular in the league. But he played quarterback at Michigan. Now, he did play some running back late his senior year when they were kind of rotated in and out. And I love college football, watch a lot of college football. He's explosive, and he's a lot of fun to watch. And the one thing that I was excited about, he was a leader at Michigan as the quarterback position. But he was a in the, what I was his senior year when they moved him to play running back, and you listen to him and watch him interact with the media, and he was never a problem. He was like, hey, I just want to play football.
Right. What's striking, and we talked about this some during the break, Gus Bradley really knew the first three picks in this draft. He had talked to Luke Jokel. He had talked to
Cyprian,
I'm sorry.
And Gratz.
And he talked to Gratz. So he had a good feel for those guys. The fifth round pick, Robinson, was David Caldwell's pick. Gus didn't know him that well. David Caldwell had been around this kid at Michigan a lot. He had loved him for a long time in terms of his presence, his playmaking ability. He said when you went on the Michigan campus and saw how the people responded to this guy, it was rock star type stuff. And so if there's a jewel pick in David Caldwell's mind, the guy that he really has this, scout crush on, if you will, is Denard Robinson. So it'll be interesting to see how he adds into this team and if this is sort of the kind of pick that Dave Caldwell likes to make. If he likes to have one guy in a draft where, hey, let's see what this talent can do on the football field.
It's interesting to find out how exactly they use him because, I don't know whether you'd say he has a good arm or not, but it certainly looked good enough at times. Do they create a package? Does he become a slash Cordell Stewart kind of player?
It's certainly possible. I mean, I think a lot of this, Dave Caldwell looked at this roster and wanted a talent infusion. Denard Robinson is a talented football player. Right. And that, I think you have more speed and probably more talent than you had a week ago.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. All right, so back to the offensive line now. Assuming.
Can I just say something about the offensive line?
Please.
It made my heart proud when three of the first four picks within draft were offensive tackles.
I'm sure it did.
That was a beautiful thing. I mean, that was just.
Sure looks like, by the
that
way.
That was poetic.
Looking forward to next year that you've got some big offensive tackles, that are going to be in the top 10 again next year.
That's right.
Taylor Lewan from Michigan leading the way.
Best athletes on the field.
Thoughts on
crickets.
Okay. Yeah.
Thoughts on the offensive line and the way that it solidifies the whole group. I mean, we know Eugene's going to be the left tackle, and that Jokel's coming into the right. I guess the fair place to start is, what will Jokel have to overcome in order to be effective at right tackle? What's going to be the most difficult part of it for him?
Well, I don't think it'll be overly difficult as he gets going. I mean, I believe if you can play left tackle, you can play right tackle. Not all right tackles can play left tackle. But usually your most athletic offensive line is your left tackle. Lineman is your left tackle. He's very athletic. He moves very well. He has great feet. He has good power. Him transitioning over to the right side he'll be a little bit rusty in this first rookie minicamp, but the rookie minicamp will be a great opportunity for him to work on his right-handed stance. It's just opposite footwork, but it's still, kick and slide and move, and he'll have to, learning a new offense. It's not like he's going to have to reverse everything if he was playing at Texas A&M going right to left to right. It's a new offense, so he can learn it as a right tackle.
You're just saying this, and it sounds complex.
But I don't think it's going to be all that hard. He's a great athlete. I mean, I played both.
And that's the key there, isn't it, Tony?
He's a great athlete.
Athletic enough to do it.
I played both in college. Heck, the first 2 years in USC, we flipped strong and weak, so you had to play right and left during the game. Obviously, as a pro, I played my entire career as left tackle. When I had to go to the Pro Bowl, though, when you're the young guy and three left tackles made it, I had to line up at right tackle. And typically the first series or two was miserable, and I about trip over my – you're trying to get lined up right.
But and you got Reggie White across from you.
Well, that wasn't easy because that's back when they actually played in the Pro Bowl as well. But after a series or two, it's not a big deal. You feel fine. And I think if you're a good athlete, you can do both. I think if if this is where it ends up and that's where it looks like, looks like Gus is telling Eugene, you're the left, and Luke, you're going to be the right, I would expect by the preseason, it won't even be, Luke Joke will be fine.
All right. So now, what does that do for the interior competition? How much? We know Meester's going to play center this year, and Uche's going to play right guard. What about left guard? What about the depth? How do you see the overall offensive line getting stronger from having him there, besides the fact that you're going to have a great right tackle?
Well, I think what it does is when you have two tackles that you can, that you have confidence that have the ability to block defensive ends, it allows you to do a lot of things in the middle as far as helping and sliding and combo blocks and everything else, because you have your, you have the perimeter secured.
You feel two on two and three on two.
Well, you feel confident that you can handle two defensive ends, and now that's going to strengthen the middle of the offensive line a little bit. So I think it helps quite a bit from matchups. Last year we were limited of what we could do because of a right tackle. You had to keep Mercedes Lewis in a lot. You had to run, slide that way or run, put a running back on that side to help chip and help the right tackle out. You don't pick a guy in the second round to do that. You pick, I mean, the second pick overall. You pick a guy at the second pick to be a shutdown left tackle typically. If you're going to put him at right, a guy who can, you can plug in there and listen, you go block that defensive end and we don't want to have to worry about you for the rest of the day.
How much does it help Mercedes? Does it allow him to become – well, he's more of a pass catcher.
He doesn't have to be, play the third tackle for the right, most of the game. I mean, he can play tight end. Now, listen, you're still. I mean, we had protections when I was here that the tight end had stayed and Max protected to pick up blitzes and stuff. But in today's passing game, you want your tight end out in routes. You want to stretch defenses. You want to put pressure on the middle of the field. It opens up a lot of stuff outside, and so I think it frees up. What it does more than anything, forget Mercedes. I'm not being disrespectful, but it frees up Jed Fish,
right,
the offensive coordinator, to call a full gamut of plays.
And it should help the interior drastically.
Oh, I think it does. I mean, listen, I think Meester, you know, you would think could be the center, but the Ohio State, I can't.
Brewster.
I couldn't even think. I think Brewster is going to have a chance to push Meester. I think Brewster has a chance to be a center in this league. He's a little undersized, but my guess is this offseason he's getting stronger, getting bigger. I like the kid's tenaciousness and toughness. I think he's a guy. I'm not saying he's going to beat out Meester, but I think he'll push him. And I believe Uche's got to play better than he did last year. And I think the competition is going to be fierce. And I think that Gus Bradley, his message to the entire roster, which goes for the offensive line, is listen, go earn a job. There's no jobs given to you. I was actually surprised a little bit. I'm not saying it was right or wrong. I was surprised that he said, Eugene, you're going to be the left tackle, instead of saying, listen, you know, we're going to play whoever's the best left tackle, the other guy's going to play right. But I understand what he's wanting to do, you know, create some stability there. And frankly, I think you have two very good tackles, whoever plays right or left.
Let's work a phone call in here before our next break. Hey, Charles, what's going on in Orange Park tonight?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
I just wanted to call in and just give a few words on the draft. I'm very happy with it. You know, as a Jags fan, I've been complaining about the O-line for about 10 years, and I'm really happy that they actually addressed that.
That's right about the time Boselli left.
About 12 years. Go ahead.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that it's going to give – people don't realize it's going to open up the opportunity. It's going to give the receivers time to get open. It's going to allow the quarterback to have some time so that he can truly be judged on his position as opposed to just anybody we throw back there who's on his back all the time. And it's going to open up blocks for the running back. And I also just wanted to quickly add, I'm really happy with Denard Robinson because, you know, he's a really fast guy. He had one of the fastest 40s out there. He's like a 4.3 or 4.4 40. And he's the kind of guy that you can just pinball around and put wherever you need.
All right, Charles, thanks for weighing in. We appreciate it. And if you are out there tonight listening in Clay County, change your radio to 104.5 FM and listen to News Talk WOKV on our new, more powerful frequency, louder and more clear in all parts of Clay County, now on 104.5 FM. And, of course, you can call us at 355-NFL1 or 800-355-6351. This is Jaguars This Week. And, by the way, this is Joe Fortunato.
Why, thank you, Mr. Sexton. You've been rewarded with a new frequency. And are you getting your Jaguars rewards? Sign up at rewards.jaguars.com and get cash back or credit for future season ticket purchases every time you shop online using the Jaguars Rewards website. Real easy, rewards.jaguars.com. Jaguars This Week rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week. Want to talk to the guys, get you last second comment in? The Metro PCS call-in line's how to do it. 355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Out of town, put an 800 in front of it.
All right, come at you on 100,000 watts of radio fury, folks. 104.5, the new frequency for WOKV. Sexton, Osher, Buscelli here, along with Joe Fortunato. Jeff is on assignment.
That's radio fury right there.
Hunting turkey somewhere?
Yeah, what is he doing? Where is he?
This is the week where he normally goes to Nebraska.
Something's dying.
Yeah, we don't. But he's got a different deal this year, so I don't know where he. But he's not here. He never is the Wednesday
after
the draft.
Isn't he? New York State?
I don't know where he is. I just know that wherever he is, turkeys are in trouble.
They're scared.
So minicamp is this weekend, and it is open all 3 days. 1:10 practice Friday, Saturday, and I think 11:10 on Sunday, right?
Yes, which is unusual, by the way. Most teams might open one, but to open all three.
Rookie minicamp.
Yeah, and it'll be fun. This is an energetic weekend. It's been energetic since Gus got the job, but this is really a chance for fans to see this new draft class, a chance to see how Gus Bradley and the staff work. So if you're a fan who likes to watch football practice, it can be a fun weekend.
And Denard Walker will be here Friday, graduating Saturday.
Denard Walker,
Denard.
As will Denard Robinson.
Denard Robinson.
They'll both be here.
He'll be here Thursday, Friday.
Maybe they'll room together.
Did Denard Walker star in?
He'll be there Thursday, Friday,
Denard Robinson.
And then go to graduation Saturday?
I believe that's right. Yeah, they get in tomorrow. I think he graduates Saturday.
You know how that is where you put a name together, you wonder, where did that come from?
No, I never make mistakes like that.
Mm-hmm. No.
I wonder who Denard Walker is. He was a receiver. He was a receiver. I think he was with the Titans. All right, so anyway, 110, 110, 11, 10. Let's go and talk about a couple of areas quickly. We have a few minutes before we're done with the show. Secondary, obviously, addressed in a big way. Two safeties, a couple of corners. And before we grab the phone call real quick, talk about the secondary. Because basically we watched is, a couple of corners left. Rasheen, Derek Cox, safety, Dwan Landry gone. And
well, they had major issues in the back half. There wasn't really anything good on the defense last year, so it's not pointing out just the back half being poor. But then you lose a bunch of guys, either you let them go or you cut them, that played last year. So it was a very, very thin group. And so it's not surprising at all that they addressed it. You have Cyprian, where he was drafted, his value. You got to believe he will be the starting strong safety. Getz. The other corner from UConn.
And Gratz.
And Gratz, thank you. That's what
Walker Gratz.
Walker Gratz.
Exactly.
We're learning these names. Gratz.
A lot of transactions.
Gratz is a guy that you would expect. And then the steal, or at least how it's being positioned, is Josh Evans from Florida. They felt like he had a much higher grade than the guy that could have gone earlier, and they felt very fortunate to get him more safety depth. So you're going to see a lot of young guys playing all over this team, especially in the secondary, just because of the purging that went this offseason at those positions.
And Dave Caldwell, he alluded to this on Saturday night, I think it was after the draft. He mentioned that they sort of created their own urgency, meaning they got in here, they looked at the secondary. Clearly they saw guys that they didn't believe were going to fit, that they didn't want to move forward with. And all of a sudden you had some gaping holes back there. People were sort of panicking. It looks like now they looked at this at the very beginning and said, these are not the kind of guys we want. Let's get some competition in here. Let's get young. Let's go after this. In retrospect, not overly surprising that you had 5 draft picks and I think 2 or 3 free agents coming in. That's where you're going to see the competition. You're going to see a lot of guys who play press that can help out this pass rush.
Grab a quick phone call. Ron's over across the river in Arlington. Ron, how are you tonight? What's going on?
Hey, great, guys. I enjoy the show, and I was just really pumped. I thought it was a great draft. Also, it was fun to see Brunell up there making that pick. That was nice. Maybe next year the Big 71 can do the same thing. But quick question, and maybe y'all can straighten it out for me. The last year when we picked up Jason Babin, because we had, the worst record, we had the first right of selecting or picking someone that goes on waivers, does that start over fresh, or is that still intact as teams start to trim rosters, maybe expensive, you know, players or just people that, you know, as they start cutting? Will we still have the first?
Well, we didn't have the first. Jags did not have the first last year. They had second, and Kansas City passed. It was based on record at the time. And so
it's the same now.
It's the same right now until the regular season starts. And then when the regular season starts, they go in by record.
So there may be some good quality players that, you know, we have a shot at, right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there's going to be some other people cut, obviously. So there,
there always are.
Yeah. All right. Good deal. I didn't know if it started over or we continued on in the same order it went. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
No problem.
Ron, thank you very much. Did anyone else think he was leading us somewhere?
I did.
Joe certainly did.
Yeah. Well, he's cleared waivers.
Yeah. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. What about linebacker? When you look at the linebacker spot, I mean, obviously, Posluszny in the middle is a guy that you can count on. And they went out and signed a free agent linebacker, and the kid from Florida State, Geno Hayes. And, you know, I mean, Russell Allen's. Yeah, it's thin. Russell's a guy
who'd
like to be your fourth linebacker.
They only have 58 guys on the roster right now. So, I mean, without the guys that they've signed, it's thin. I mean, this is a thin group right now.
But Dave made it clear you couldn't address everything.
No, it's impossible.
They went after certain position groups. They did certain things this year, just as he said. Drafted a pass blocker. Probably couldn't get an elite pass blocker and pass protector and whatever other positions. You can usually get one of those at a time. This year they went after Jokel. If nobody emerges as an elite pass rusher, if Andre Branch is not that guy, probably pretty safe to say it's going to be a target area next year. So you have to – he has a long-term plan, did the best they could to address the immediate short-term needs this year within that.
Again, brings me back to the question. Yeah, they can touch on it in free agency if they choose, if there's a player out there, someone who's cut.
Well, I think they're gonna have to address it in free agency at some level. I mean, you got to fill out the roster. And you got to – now, unless these rookie free agents and guys that – and you'll start seeing it this weekend and through the mini camps. But it's a constant evaluation process. And Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell will be evaluating with all the scouts and all the position coaches every practice and where they are. And they will continue to monitor the free agent waiver wire of what's out there. And if they feel like they can get better with a player that fits them as far as age and salary and everything else at linebacker position or any position, there's plenty of holes they can fill.
And that doesn't end in camp.
That's the last word. And we're done. Joe, thanks so much.